This is Tech Talk for Accountants Show, where we discuss the hottest topics, tools, apps, and trends in the accounting industry. This show is sponsored by Rush Tech Support, who is offering all listeners of the show a free IT audit so you can know whether or not your business is at risk of being hacked, having a data breach, or getting fined hundreds of thousands of dollars for non-compliance. You can schedule a free check at rushtech.online/podcast.
All right. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Tech Talk for Accountants show. And I'm your host, Andrew Lassise, with Tech for Accountants and Rightworks, IT specializing in the accounting industry. Reminder, this coming May, this is right around the corner, by the time this gets published, we are going to be in Austin, Texas, for the Right Now conference. There's going to be incredible speakers like Mr. Wonderful from Shark Tank, as well as myself, other people from Rightworks, Darren Root, Roman Kepchik in cybersecurity, tons of great speakers, lots of great content that's going to be in May in Austin, Texas. So be sure to check that out. And with us today, though, we have Ajoy, who's the new CEO and chief product officer at Sin7. And they are a global leader in the inventory management software space. So there's a couple other names that you could be familiar with, and we won't bash on them like we were doing pre-show, but we're gonna dig into the benefits of inventory management and just why you would look for products in that world. So Ajoy, thanks for being on the show.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, Andrew, and excited to talk to you all and share a bit more about Sin7, but particularly how you think about inventory, you know, from an accounting perspective. So excited about the discussion today, and thank you for having me.
Yeah, so you were chief product officer for how long before this new role in CEO took place?
Sure. I joined Sin7 December of 22. So I was the chief product officer for about 14 months or so at that point. And then, as you said, took over as the CEO, in late February or early March. So it's been a couple of months, and it's been amazing ride. Excited about the opportunity, excited about the work that we're doing with our customers, in our products, lots of momentum, so much going on in the industry, particularly around supply chain. And that's what we are excited about. If you look at our vision that we released late last year, it's about making product selling as easy as product buying, right? If you think about the shift, you and I as consumers, the buying part becomes so easy, especially, post-pandemic. There's so many things around online ordering, buy online, pick up in store BOPUS, or, order from social apps like TikTok and Insta and all that. It's been super easy. But then if you zoom and look at what's going on behind the scenes, as the process of selling caught up with the same level, and that's where, platforms like Sin7 is helping our customers trying to modernize and, take that forward and hence that vision, which, captures that spirit very well, which is let's make selling as easy as buying. If you want to truly run an efficient organization and a growth organization, it's super important. It's reflected on the accounting side of things as well. At the end of the day, you want to know what's flowing in, what's flowing out, so you can keep a good balance sheet and continue to invest in the business and grow the business. And that's what we are excited about with the, the Sin7 platform and the integrations we have with platforms like QuickBooks Online.
It's funny how I think inventory management is one of those things that as a small business owner, it's just something that's like, yeah, they do that at other places, but I don't really need a whole system. And then as your company starts growing, is one of those things I'd imagine you look back on and are like, I wish that we had something in place. And it's one of the nice things on being in a software managed MSP, because like our inventory, like we were just acquired a couple months ago and we're going through like, what inventory do you have? And so much of it is just digital on a dashboard. And it was like, well, we've got like 15 laptops. They're like, yeah, give us those. That was it on our side as being pretty much digital and quick license keys. Like we're not holding an inventory. Everything's run just in time. So, but I'd imagine organizations that have physical inventory specifically, where keeping track of those things, I used to work in a restaurant and doing inventory was the worst thing ever. I think we did every quarter, every half year or something where we'd stay till like 5 a.m, just counting everything. It's such a nightmare. So where do you guys fit into the picture as far as inventory management goes? Like, what's the main pain point that people are facing that you guys help tackle?
Yeah, no, I think that's a great, great question. I think your comment about how a lot of companies kind of don't think about this and it's an afterthought. I think that's fundamentally a change. The shift that we talk about, Andrew, is that if you look at the last decade, customers are, you know, if you look at the commerce industry as a whole, it's what I call the shift from analog commerce to digital commerce, right? Everything was on paper. Like, you have seen people walk around in a grocery store, you know, taking counts like on a notepad, right? And we've all walked by that too and wonder what's going on. But they were just doing inventory cycle count, and that's all being digitized. And now people actually, you know, scan the barcode, but still the net impact is the same. You're collecting all the data sitting in somewhere. So a lot of digitization or digital transformation has happened. What we see the industry is moving is the shift from digital commerce to what we call intelligent commerce. It's not just about the data that you have. Like, how many times you've been walked into a store and go like, hey, I'm looking for this particular product. The shelf looks empty. And they go, oh, let me check in the back. It shows that we have one, but I'm not sure. Somebody might have put it somewhere. Like, you know, how many times have you heard that story, right? And that's not a good reflection of, you know, where the platform is and whatnot. So I think that's where I think fundamentally we can, with the use of modern technology with platforms like Sin7, we can offer a true view, real-time view of where things are from an inventory perspective. And in fact, if you go back to the naming of our company, like if you look at the Sin, it's connected inventory. That's what the CIN stands for. And the 7 comes from the original founder of the company thinking there are 7 different ways, you know, we can tackle some of the connected inventory opportunities. So, but again, if we just boil it down to what it means for our customers, it's essentially keeping track. At the foundation level, this is about understanding how much have I received, how much I've produced, and how much I've shipped, right? That's a simple math. Like, I got 10 goods, you know, received. I've bought extra, you know, purchased over the years, and then I end up my inventory at the end of the calendar year with Y. So I think that part is pretty well covered with an inventory platform. A lot of companies do it around. What we see Sin7 differentiating on top of that is essentially taking advantage of the data to provide insights that's going to help customers run the business better. You know, inventory management at the core should not be a necessary evil. It has to be viewed as a platform that actually can help customers and the businesses strive and grow, right? That's a super important thing. You talked about customers starting with no inventory system and so on. That happens. Like, if you look at our customer target, and even when we talk about Sin7 as a platform, we've clearly defined, you know, what makes sense for our customers. Not everybody needs an inventory management system. And like, I have a friend that sells, you know, jewelry from the garage. You know, does she need an inventory management system? Probably not. Google Sheet is good enough. But as soon as you want to open up a next store, let's say you set up a Shopify store and you're selling it, or a big commerce store, whatever, and then you open up, you know, start listing on Amazon, that's when you can keep track of things within a spreadsheet, right? So we have customers that are startups, right? That come in, they got a great product, they've got traction in the market, they've started selling it on their own Shopify store or a WooCommerce store. Now they want to add it to Amazon or eBay or a Walmart store. That's when you jump on. We have customers that have found the scale, right? They're on a hyper growth model. They've gone from $1 million, $2 million to 10, 12, 15, 4, you know, $30 million. And then we have customers that do hundreds of millions of dollars with a lot of sophistication, great amount of integrations that's driving the overall platform value. So that's at the end of the day, that's what it is, right? To me, as a business, I have goals to accomplish, and your business is to keep, you know, selling more product that you're producing. A platform should come in, you know, be there to not only support you to run an efficient organization, but also set you up for growth in the future.
So one of the things that you had hit on where it was, you know, not just an inventory management system, but you had hit a bit on the insights and things that you can pull from the data. So not just, I have 10, I sold 7, there's 3 left, I look on the shelf and see 3, cool, it's working. But what are some of the conclusions that business owners would be able to draw, or some of the insights that can come from a product that's digging into the data like that?
Yeah, I mean, at the foundational level, there's a lot of things like, you know, regular inventory counts, right? You know, you can do that efficiently. If you look at Sin7 as a platform, like, we do inventory management, that's a given. But our customers are product sellers that sell online. They have a retail store. Some of them exclusively sell for B2B. Some of them do both, B2C and B2B. Some of them manufacture their own goods and sell. Some of them assemble, disassemble, and sell. So you can see there's a diverse set of different business models. So our platform offers everything from inventory management to warehouse management. You can do pick, pack, and ship. We offer point of sale solutions. We offer manufacturing solution that's a full on, you know, manufacturing capability to tracking the BOMs, to managing the schedule, and so on and so forth. But then back to your question on the data itself, the opportunity we see, and again, this is where this whole transition from analog commerce to digital commerce to intelligent commerce comes into play, which is like, how do you take this data? It's one thing to know that I had 10 in the beginning of the year, I sold 7, I have 3 left. Okay, that's good. That's math. But how do you make the businesses get smarter about which inventory is selling faster? What does your overstock looks like? Maybe you might have an inventory item that you shouldn't carry in the inventory because it's not selling fast enough. That's where, you know, a news that I want to share, which we announced, you know, not too long ago, is the acquisition of an AI-driven demand forecasting platform called Inventoro. So now that's part of Syn7 family. So we've got several joint customers that are using both platforms to have a great understanding of what's their inventory levels look like, but more importantly, how can they manage from a demand forecasting perspective, understanding what's the most profitable inventory that they have, understanding which ones they should replenish first, so to speak, understanding which ones they have overstock, meaning like it's sitting on shelf without moving. And then stock out, meaning like product that are selling that you don't have enough of. You're running out of product. So it's like the double whammy sometimes, right? You have a product that's sitting on shelf, and then you have a product that actually sells fast that you're running out sooner. That's not a good thing if you're a business trying to grow and be efficient. So this platform fundamentally, you know, changes all of that. It gives you that view with the click of a button. It's a homegrown, you know, AI algorithm that they've built that now is part of Syn7 family. And we're excited about that integration because a lot of our customers are seeing tremendous benefit, you know, saving, like even we did an analysis with a small sample of customers, each of them had roughly around $560,000 of excess inventory or overstock. So we're helping them trying to reduce that. That's fundamentally dollars you can use, save, but also invest in the business to grow.
And I think a lot of people, and maybe they started, my experience is really just my own experience of started small, didn't think it would turn into something. And then 10 years later, getting acquired and thousands of clients and just things changed so much over time to where I was at a company that went out of business, and I made an agreement with the owner that I would keep taking care of his customers for free for him. He could keep collecting the MRR. And then after 2 months, if they called, I would just change the recurring revenue to me. That is how my company started. But when we first started the startup that went out of business, we didn't even have like a spreadsheet of customers, just people call and we're just taking their word for it, whether or not they're a customer or whether or not they've paid. So you start growing over time and find new pain points, things that, okay, we need to solve this. So like within a week or two, we were like, we should probably be keeping track of who is our customer. So in the space that's different than someone that's just doing services for the most part, where, you know, our inventory, it was never really like a pain point that was hit on too hard for us. We just did just in time for virtually everything, or it was just software. So you click a button, there it is, we get billed on the back end. So where do you see it switching over? You had kind of mentioned before when people are on multiple platforms where things start getting complicated and you can't just easily keep track of, well, I have 10 available, but I sold 3 on Shopify. I also randomly have a WooCommerce store that sold 2. And then I have a big commerce store I forgot about that also sold 1, but none of these communicate with each other. So I'm just told from a bunch of different places that I have a bunch of different analytics. And so when you're using the platform, you know, in its simplest form, I had 10, sold 7, there's 3 left, doesn't matter where it was sold. But the piece that's really interesting though is being able to take that information and then apply it to business decisions. And I think that just not only in inventory management, right, but like business as a whole, when you can get insight into things that have a big impact on the bottom line, like people probably don't think too much about, well, I have all this inventory and there's cash flow problems, right? And it's like, well, you have all this inventory that could have been cash, but you haven't purchased correctly. Or, and would a product like this work in like a restaurant setting, for instance, where there's perishables and things like that?
Yeah, I mean, we have companies that do, you know, food and beverage, beauty and cosmetics, fashion and apparel. Those are some of our biggest verticals. And then to your broader point about the value, right, overall, not just, I mean, since 7, I mean, think about investing in tech, right? If you're a product selling company, right? I don't want this to be like, hey, you know, go buy Sin 7. That's not the point of this podcast. You know, if you think about inventory, like I said, foundationally, yes, you're right. It's about like when you have multiple channels, right? You know, you're selling 1,000 in Shopify, 500 in Amazon on any given day or hour. You want to make sure that's all reconciled and, you know, real-time stock levels, you can update them. So you don't have to sit down and just look at the sheets. And it's impossible to do it, right? We have seen customers that have actually made the shift, like family-owned businesses that used to run on sheets. They start looking at another channel, and then they move over to Sin7 to take advantage of that integrated. But it's more than that, right? It's the benefit of this is like not just understanding the inventory, but I mean, a lot of accountants are listening into this conversation. It's also the benefit of understanding like how this all flows in at the end to end. When I sit down and have conversations with my, you know, customers, when I ask them like, hey, tell me about your tech stack. Like, what do you do? Like they typically draw Sin7 in the middle, right? That's kind of their core operating system, so to speak, to keep track of where the business is. And then on the front end, they're pointing out to all their marketplaces and the different channels, you know, whether it's Amazon, Shopify, WooCommerce, BigCommerce, Walmart, eBay, Fair, you name it, right? And then they also talk about the different ways. Maybe they are doing POS. They have pop-up stores. They have retail outlets. They're also doing B2B portal, selling to wholesalers, right? Or connecting through EDI and 3PL with some other trading merchants. Like all of a sudden, they, you know, they're now online seller, but they've now started selling in Target, Sephora, Macy's. They could do that through with the integration. So that one piece. But then on the back end, what they draw is typically accounting systems. They want to make sure they have a good handle on the sales and the costing transactions. And those are recorded into the, you know, journal. And then on an accrual basis too, you know, where it's applicable. And then the other piece that's super important for our customers when they look at the tech stack is, okay, good that I'm selling all of these orders. How do I fulfill them, right? So that's where the pick, pack, shipping comes in, the shipping integrations come in. So if you look at a platform like Sin7, if you're buying Sin7 for inventory management only, that's like buying iPhone for making phone calls, right? You know, of course you do make phone calls, but that's not what you're buying it for. There's more value that the platform offers that's going to make your organizational functions perform better. The seamless integration that we offer between, you know, Sin7 and QBO, QuickBooks Online. You know, it's like there's one source of truth, which is Sin7, that has all the inventory data and so on. And then with the wizard-based setup, you can set up connection to QuickBooks Online, automatically syncing, and your QuickBooks Online is always up to date, right? So if you want to run financial reporting off of it, you know that you've got the real-time data sitting in there. And then we have added capabilities around summarized transactions in QuickBooks Online. You can keep all the details while also getting more of a consolidated view if that's how you want to manage the accounting side of things. So I can keep going on and on in terms of the benefits of those integrations, but that's one of the key things that our customers appreciate. We have 700 or so integrations across accounting systems, shipping systems, marketplaces, and so on and so forth.
I think that was a great analogy on the buying an iPhone just to make phone calls, right? It's like the foundational piece. Yes, that's like, that is the dime a dozen, like throw a dart at the wall and, you know, you'll land on someone that can do those fundamental things. But the value that comes into it afterwards, how you can implement it, having that centralized source of truth is so important, especially when you've got a million different systems. And again, this is just speaking on my own experience where we had a bunch of different platforms to solve a bunch of different problems. And then when they needed to talk to each other, I mean, it's coulda, woulda, shoulda, look back on so many things where it's like, you know, it would have been smart if we had something that integrated all this information in all these different spots and locations. And, you know, it just kind of turns into, with our acquisition, where obviously we get lots of questions from the acquirer about, okay, well, what does this say? These numbers are saying this. And we've found our ways to consolidate and get the central source of truth just as a company that's growing. But literally today, one of the VPs said, oh, you know, I notice like the numbers have been going down for the recurring revenue. Like, it's not a lot, but it is going down. So something to keep an eye on. And I was like, well, show me the report. And he sent it and it was like, oh no, you can't trust that information. let me get you the correct information. And it wasn't just to like save my butt, you know, it was just like, you are looking at the wrong thing that doesn't talk to the correct thing. And that's something that, you know, looking back, it's such an important, the integrations, you said 700 applications. So of course there's like 10 billion apps, right? But like 700 still.
Yeah.
Still.
It's growing. It's growing. We just welcomed, you know, accounts payable platform on the mix. Very soon, you know, we'll have a first party integration or a very, you know, closed partnership with a company called Cinder that's quite popular in the QuickBooks community that, you know, helps with the consolidation across, you know, different channels, different payment, you know, processors and so on. So we're continuing to invest in that integration landscape as well, Andrew, because it's super important for our customers. How we pick these integrations is basically with the, you know, from the feedback that we are hearing from customers, like what solutions you're relying on. Like even the acquisition that I talked about earlier, like that came from our customers starting to use it, right? We have a customer advisory council that we use to, you know, build the product. We're not building the product in vacuum. We have customer advisory council members meeting with us on a monthly basis where we share our roadmap. We're super transparent about it. Talk about, you know, design criteria, like design decisions, and work through some new features that we're considering and getting their feedback. And in some of those conversations, we also talk about other systems and tools that they're using or looking into using. And that's a great way for us to evaluate and say, hey, should there be an integration between Syn7 and this platform or service, right? So this acquisition, you know, we've learned about them over the years, over the last several months through our customers. A lot of our customers are using it. And it made total sense for us to, you know, bring it onto the platform to fulfill on that commitment that I said earlier, which is the offering an intelligent commerce platform and then getting us closer to this vision of making selling as easy as buying.
And so when it comes to financial reporting and inventory and sales, do you have any tips people should be aware of when it comes to that?
Yeah, I mean, again, I'm no accountant, so take it with a pinch of salt. But I do have, you know, a CPA that's actually one of the product managers. So to be completely honest, half of the time in my one-on-one with him, I don't understand more than half of what he's saying. Maybe that's a good thing, right? But again, as a platform, you know, we have the inventory valuation, which is super important. You want to know the valuation method that you're using, so that's reflected properly on the balance sheet. We look at, you know, rev rec, like depending on how your sales transactions are captured, COGS is a big topic. In fact, Sierra from Syn7 did a very, very good video. It's like a quick minute or minute and a half video explaining COGS using some modern tech. I'm being sarcastic here. You should take a look at that. She used post-it notes to explain the concept, which I thought was pretty funny. But essentially understanding, you know, what's the direct cost associated with producing or purchasing the goods that you're selling, right? All the other stuff, like we've got about 60 plus reports in the product. You can do gross profit margin analysis. You want to know, like to your point earlier, you're getting question from the acquirer about VP, like what does the number look like? And it's not accurate. That's not going to cut it, right? So you can look at the gross profit margin report and then identify factors like what's impacting our margin. If the margin is either high or low, you want to know both ways, right? If the margin is all of a sudden high, you want to know why. Or if it's low, you want to know why. Is it because we changed the pricing or is it because the cost went up for us? Right, we're not able to procure the goods at the same price as before, or is it because the sales mix is different, where we're selling more less margin products than higher margin products? So those things are super important for you to get a better handle on the business. So not only you can invest in the right area, but you can also set up for kind of the what's your next crank from a growth perspective.
And again, we're coming back around to that theme of having the intelligent data to be able to make decisions. Because really, I mean, what it all boils down to in any business, it's just you start something and hopefully it starts growing and trending in an upward growth. I mean, there's going to be highs and lows along the way, but being able to make decisions with accurate information, it's such an important piece. And a lot of people will just sort of be flying blindly with just, well, yeah, we do this. And I caught myself in it a lot with the acquisition. Really, you know, it pulled back the curtain on so many things that were like, why do you do it this way? I don't know. It's just how we always did it. It's exactly. Like, you know, that's not the right way to do it, right? It's like, yeah, but I have other fires to put out and just never got around to thing XYZ. But having the intelligence behind it. And I remember my mom had told me that she was an investment banker for many years. And I had started my first company. I was 16 and understood the concept of COGS and gross profit. It was like, okay, well, if I produce this and it costs me that much to make, then what I keep is the remainder. Like that is what matters to me as the only person working here. And she was like, you'd be blown away how many business owners don't understand that concept of just because you sold something for $10,000, if you paid $15,000, you lost $5,000. Obviously, that's an extreme example, but at the same time, people that don't have an understanding of a concept like COGS, which I'd assume most people in the accounting industry just, oh yeah, of course, COGS. But on the small business side, maybe having like a little red, hey, don't do this. This is how you lose money. Yes, you make cash flow, but you'd be better off not doing this at all. So the analytics piece, the making intelligent decisions in real time, so we're not finding out this information months after the fact where, oh, well, now I have this data in front of me. And it would have been nice if I had it months ago, but
I use this analogy, time. Right? We've got, like I said, a lot of reports. And again, this industry as a whole, particularly in SMB, large companies, retailers, and so on, you know, they've got hundreds of people, thousands of people to throw at that problem, right? The reason why we are excited about these investments and the features we're building into the platform is we're democratizing a lot of those capability to the small and mid-market product sellers. That's this, you know, that's the ecosystem that we serve. That's the ecosystem we believe has a huge role to play in the overall, you know, economy and the GDP growth and so on. And the point I usually make to people is like, it's one thing to have it on a report. Like, think of an example where you're driving around a mountain over a cliff and you're driving at 80 miles per hour. And you only to find out how fast you're going, you got to go back and look at a report. The problem with that is like, you may not end up surviving to check the report. You might fall off the cliff if you're going too fast on the curve, right? That's why having real-time insights is super important. Not only that, you know, to catch that, hey, you're actually losing money, even insights on like, hey, how was your profitable business doing? Like, what are the profitable inventory looks like? And what do you need to do to more to take advantage of that? Understand seasonality. I remember reading about a customer that went through this analysis with our platform. They even discovered that they actually have a spike in their sales, you know, in a different time frame than you would have usually expected with product selling. It's around, you know, Christmas to holiday time frame, right? But they actually had a couple of other spikes earlier in the year that is related to a couple of other events, you know, and that's the type of stuff they realize and go, okay, I got to do better planning to take advantage of the growth that's coming up earlier, like in March and in February and so on. So to me, you're absolutely right, Andrew. The power of data, I think it's underutilized and underserved. I see that as a great opportunity, and that's why we did some investments recently, and we continue to believe the fact that we can take a lot of that and offer very context-specific insights to our customers so they can take action on that to drive their business better, that's exciting to us. And that's why we're fired up about the overall vision and the opportunity in front of us.
And it always feels good being able to help other people with something that you've built and then being able to get the feedback of, because you did this, I now have that, and I appreciate that that wouldn't have happened had you not been in the mix. So getting the insights, obviously the iPhone being able to make phone calls with your inventory management, but you know, the data, right? And having the decisions, or having the data to make decisions, get it in real time, and be able to basically tell a story of, here is not only the numbers, but what do these numbers mean? What is the story that's being told here? Because sometimes just having numbers really isn't, numbers are numbers. And I remember I'd gone to school, so graduated, then went back to school for hospitality. I thought I wanted to own a restaurant until I started managing one and realized I do not, not built for that. But I remember I was in a class and the professor had said, all right, you buy chicken from the distributor and you can sell it. So it's a $2 chicken. You sell it for $4. You make a 100% markup. You could also buy steak for $10, sell it for $15. So you get only a 50% markup. Which one do you want to sell the most of? The chicken at 100% or the steak at 50%? And so, you know, the exercise, you go, oh, well, chicken, it's 100%. He says, so if I sell 100 chickens, make $2, I made $200. If I sell 100 steaks at $5, I made $500. Would you rather have $200 or $500? And then hit me with the line. He said, you take percentages to your accountant, you take dollars to the bank. Okay. So,
love it.
But you know, it plays into, where should you be focusing your attention? Because without that story, I'm sure at some point I probably would have pieced together that you make more money with certain things, but like, in that scenario, if I am running a business and thinking, well, you know, 100% markup, this is great, but same amount of effort and having more, yes, percentages are fine and dandy, but taking a percentage of a watermelon, a smaller percentage of a watermelon than 100% of a grape, you know, it's...
Right. That's right. No, I think that's where the data, your point about, you know, data in isolation is actually not that valuable. Right. You know, people talk about data, and data being the moat, right? How many times have you heard that? Like the line that I use is like, data is the moat, insight is the water that you fill the moat with, right? I mean, that's what it is at the end of the day. That's what gets you the outcome that you're looking for. So that, you know, how do you help these businesses understand, you know, where they are losing money, where they're making money, or where the opportunity exists? And that's the transformation. It's not just us. Like that's what the industry is moving. And we are excited about playing a role in that ecosystem.
Yeah. And so I think it's a good place to leave off. We'll be seeing you in June at Scaling New Heights, which looking forward to. But before that, remember everybody, May, we're going to be having the RightWorks conference called Right Now. It's going to be in Austin, Texas. And probably when this gets published, it will be jokingly like happening right now. Like it'll probably be published the day that it happens, but be sure to check it out. We're going to have a great lineup of speakers. And Ajoy, thank you so much for being on the show. Where can people find more about you and Sin7?
Yeah, I mean, you can definitely go to sin7.com. You know, you can read a lot. You can watch videos of our product in action. Obviously, look us up on social media, LinkedIn, X, all that good stuff as well. But hopefully this was helpful. You got a sense of how we think about the whole supply chain industry, the SMB product seller market, and the role Sin7 plays. And Andrew, it was exciting to learn more about you and your audience, and you know, enjoyed the chat today, and good luck with the travel coming up for you with all the events that you're engaging at.
Oh yeah, well, later we'll be plugging in Chicago, Bridging the Gap, and probably QuickBooks.
There you go.
We'll let them happen when they happen. So thank you so much for being on the show. It was great talking to you. Have a great day. Bye.
Yeah, thanks so much. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Tech Talk for Accountants show. Be sure to subscribe if you like the show. And remember, if you would like a complimentary IT audit of your business, go to rushtech.online/podcast to schedule a time with a certified technician who can look over your current IT systems and make recommendations on how to make sure you and your clients are safe.